Some of us are serious about it.
We'll
start today with the Department of Public Safety.
We're just trying to save us some time.
Money.
Under tab M. Representative Jackal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Department of Public Safety, I think, has a serious underfunded problem in personal services. Without the additional funding, in almost all of the enforcement components, they will have to institute many vacancies. This is one area I feel, Mr. Chairman, that we cannot afford to reduce. This is why the subcommittee chose, in many instances, to approve suggested revenue enhancement measures before considering most of the reductions. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and move options 1 through 3. Option 2 is actually, I guess, a statute change. And essentially what option 2 does is it allows the VPSOs to relieve some of the insurance pressures by pooling together for insurance purposes.
Their objections to number 1, 2, and 3.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
Yes, with respect to item 3, that's a transfer, right? Not really a reduction. That's going to be showing up over
fish
in
and
the
game.
Fish
and
Game.
Game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The understanding on item 3 was that, in so much as that the Department of Fish and Game would have it for 3 years, then when it reverted back to the other department, would probably have it for 3 years. So.
Okay.
Move on.
There are any objections? Without objections, the first three are taken. Representative Jackal.
I'd like to move option number 4, Mr. Chairman, but I do have a with option number 4 is fee increases from $3 million to up to $36 million. We did not approve all of, there are some exceptions, we didn't approve all of the recommended changes, and I don't know if maybe the thing to do would be to pass this. I guess, I think they are in your packet reports are back.
Yeah.
I want to just go through those and note the ones that we had.
Approved
most of them. There were a couple. One we didn't approve because it would be essentially transferring funds from one department to another. And the other, I don't remember why we didn't approve it.
Okay, well, we have a bill that will be before the Finance Committee on Monday that will consider these increases as part of.
Okay. I might also note then the other deletion from that was on section 12 of that list. We deleted the Pearl Harbor survivor and POW fees. That was recommended, and that's, we were told that it's probably a real minuscule amount. Probably not a whole lot of Pearl Harbor survivors and POWs. With that, I move option number 4. So members are aware of those that we could.
And do you know, Representative Jackal, what's the total of the items that are encompassed in your subcommittee's recommendation?
No, we don't know what the total amount of revenue generated. No, we don't. We asked for that amount. We, the department didn't know it would be less than $36,000, I presume, since we deleted some of those. $36 million, I'm
sorry.
I don't object to the concept, but I'm having difficulty figuring out what it is we're doing. So I'd rather not make a formal motion until we can have the paper in front of us.
It would be in the legislation. We're making this recommendation, I guess, basically what we're doing.
Yeah, we don't have to accept this recommendation. We'll consider this Monday when we have the fee bill up, and we can add in or not add in things that we want. Representative Jackal.
Section, or options 5 through 7. I'd move those.
Their objection. Without objection, 5 through 7 are accepted. Jackal.
I think that's all I'd want to move at this point in time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, that's all we'll take for now. We'll move on to.
Just out of curiosity, Mr. Chairman, do we want to consider number 9 so that, or any of those others that where you're raising the revenue so that we can have those as available to us for Monday or whenever it is.
Yeah, we'll have those available.
9, 10.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Farm.
Under number 10, I brought this up when we had the original hearing. When they say add a surcharge to sports hunting, fishing, trapping license to fund related enforcement and search and rescue, I asked at that time why big game guides were not added, and he said they considered it, but they, for some reason, didn't add it. I'd like to see that added to the list, because I think they're one of the heavier users of our resource, and they're certainly the ones that get the most dollars out of hunting in the state, and I think they should have to pay a little more.
Okay, we'll add big game guys on there. Representative Sharp.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment on that also. I think present statute is written pretty tightly that all fees and revenue from licenses for sports hunting and fishing has to go into a special sports hunting and fishing. If this is associated with that, we have to be careful that we don't breach the agreement that all funds received from that has to go through that fund and be dispersed for sport hunting and fishing needs, or we lose our federal funding match fund. So anyway, just legislation.
There are some requirements that we have to meet there, and when we have these things up on Monday, we can consider whether or not it makes sense.
So, we're doing 9, 10, 11?
Yeah, we'll take 9, 10, and 11, but we haven't really accepted the concept. Same thing with number 17. We'll take a look at that. Okay, we'll move on to tab N, Department of Revenue. Representative Larson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In reviewing the revenue budget with a target of reduction of $2.5 million, we considered all of the proposals by the administration, plus we had two of our own. If I could run through here with a series of motions, I think you'll be able to understand in what we did. And to start it out, then I would move that we accept the options 1, 2, and 3. And ask if there's any objections.
Questions?
Representative Boyer.
On number 2, the ABC, are they not totally program receipts authorized at this point?
That's not my understanding, but probably we have someone here who could answer that question.
Services Director for the Department of Revenue, and for the 1993 budget, they would be, in fact, entirely program receipt funded for this. They are not in 92.
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess my concern is why would we take... So this is a real reduction in...
It is a real reduction, and it would reduce the... eliminate the investigator function from the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. It's the general fund program receipt portion. But in our target of the $2.5 million, the program receipts were also included in that.
Right. Why would we be interested in doing that?
Mr. Chairman, at this time, I need to look into that more. I'd recommend that I be allowed to remake my motion and that we move items 1 and 3.
Representative Brown.
I think you had a question about item 3. Are those the... Are those people that are proposed for elimination the ones that do the revenue forecasting?
That's correct.
And how many would be left in that function if those positions were eliminated?
Okay, what the subcommittee's recommendation is going to be is that right now there are 9 positions authorized and 8 of them are filled. So this actually would be a reduction of 2 positions. And it would be the subcommittee's recommendation that we move option 3, but not option 7. The administration had recommended the deletion of 6 positions. The subcommittee recommends the deletion of only 2, or 3 actually, with 1 being vacant.
Representative Barnes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, he has under item number 3 and number 8, but I don't see that under number 7.
I'm sorry, did I say number 7? I meant number 8.
And I'd kind of like to know what the difference is between number 3 and number 8, more specifically. What do the people under number 3 do versus those under number 8?
Right. Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Barnes, it's some of the clerical, some of the forecasters, they're all economists. It's a section, and the various economists and clerical support are identified. It would just, if you take number 3, you'll probably delete two clerical and one economist, I believe it is. And whereas number 8 would then get two more economists and one clerical.
Can we just hold those two open for now? 3 and 8.
We haven't gotten to 8 yet.
Are there objections?
Well, why don't I try to make another approach? I would move that we adopt number 1, Mr. Chairman.
and how about 0, the Mental Health Trust Authority? Right above that.
It's not numbered.
It's not numbered. It's just...
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's call that 1A, I guess. I would move the Mental Health Trust Authority.
Okay. Mental Health Trust Authority and number 1, oil and gas audit. Are there objections?
Mr. Chairman, I object for points of discussion. There's a copy of the letter that I had a response from. I had asked Daryl Rexwinkle several questions on the audit division and the impact that it would have on the reduction. One of the things that I really feel is that this is a revenue budget, and the revenue is to bring in revenues for the whole state. And I really feel that the audit and audit division and the economic research is going to be a detriment to the divisions, and I would like to see that being held open for further discussions.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I too would like to see every one of them held open, but sooner or later we got to get down to the task before us, and I will accede to whatever you want. It would still be my recommendation, but if you have no problem within the time frame under which you're planning the committee work, leave it open.
I think the idea behind this was that the municipalities ought to, we either ought to charge them or else they ought to pay for the cost of that. That's
which one is that?
That's number 1. All right, let's hold revenue open for now and go on to Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And I'll move items 1 through 8.
This is on the DOT.
Maybe we better start at the top. I'll move numbers 1 and 2. It's a shift to federal funds. Ought not to be too controversial. Without objection, those are adopted. I will move item number 3. Without objection, item number 3 is accepted. I'll move number 4 accepted. Number
objection. Like that one. He was just teasing me.
I move item number 4.
Object.
There is objection. Should we vote on it, or should we hold it open?
Hold it. I'm ready to vote right now. You've held
everything else. We'll hold item number 4 open. I move...
That's real decisive. The inside is decisive.
Can't move number 5.
Oh, you can't, huh?
Yeah. All right. I'll move number 5, and I'll object and ask that it be held open.
Why? Where's Lake Thorn Bay Road at?
Southeast
Prince of Wales Island.
It's Taylor's district.
I move item number 6. Is there objection? I move item number 7. Is there objection? Item number 7 is accepted. I move item number 8.
Object.
There's an objection. You want to hold it open? We'll discuss it. Just hold it open.
Hold open 5. I'd like to hold open 7.
All right. Item number 7 is held open.
Well, I was asked by somebody to hold open 7.
Yeah, that's why I asked if you'd heard.
All right, I'll move number 5. Is there objections to number 5?
She says I'm
there. You deal with it. Move number 7 has been moved. Does anyone want to take it back off the table?
I'd like to ask that be held open, Mr. Chairman.
Number 7 is held open.
Yeah.
Number 5 has been accepted. I don't intend to move 9 or 10. I'm not going to take other reductions.
11.
I move 11.
Object. Can we hold it?
Yep. I move number 12. Is there objection to number 12? Number 12 is accepted. And move number 13.
Chairman, I'm going to raise the flag halfway on this one.
I'll raise it the rest.
All right. We'll hold number 13 open.
Flagging everything else. So.
Let's move on to University of Alaska.
The rest are going to cut it back from the front. Huh? The people
are going to
cut the rest.
Representative Copeland is not here, so we'll move to court system.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, we forgot. There he is. Never mind.
Okay.
Sorry, Joe.
We'll take up the court system.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Jackal.
The Alaska court system is one of the smallest growing agencies in state government. Although the number of people the people that have interacted with us steadily increased over the years, this made it very difficult for the subcommittee to prioritize reductions. Ultimately, with the exception of some small changes, the subcommittee chose to take the agency's recommendation for the prioritization of cuts. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and move 1 through 5, options 1 through 5.
Items 1 through 5, are there objections? Without objections, item 1 through 5 are accepted. Representative Jackal?
I'd like to move options 6 and 7.
6 and 7, are there objections? Without objections, 6 and 7 are accepted. Representative Jackal?
And that's it.
That's it for now?
Just a second. That's it for now, Mr. Chairman.
That's it for now?
Yes.
Okay, Office of the Governor. I move items 1 through 6.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
How does that COLA adjustment compare with the COLA adjustment that we did yesterday? The item number 1.
3.57%. We did across the whole board. Budget is 3.57.
I'm not sure, but it takes money out. We can come back to it if we want to add more in. I mean, if we want to take more out, we can come back to the government.
Okay, I'd just like an explanation of what that is in relation to the other COLA motion that was made yesterday and approved.
Mr. Chairman, you've already accepted that in the motion that you made yesterday.
For all departments.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on the Executive Office, Joint Federal State Commission on Alaska Natives. I had asked a question previously in the subcommittee where the funding was going to be coming from. Was it the state's portion of the funding, or are they going to get federal funds on it?
Right, and I know that I've gotten a response from the mayor. We'll hold number six open. Are there objections to one through five, Representative?
Just a point of information on number five. The Sentencing Commission does not actually expire 193, as this suggested. Actually, by statute, expires at the end of the next fiscal year, June of 93. It's a policy call for the committee to decide if it does want it to stop funding by 193, but just for your information, that actually would close out the business of the commission 6 months early.
You want to hold it open for now?
Well, it's perhaps it's worth thinking about.
All right, items 1 through 4. I'll amend my motion to items 1 through 4. Is there objection? Without objections, 1 through 4 is accepted. Okay, I've got. I think a brief at ease.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I have a question on this.
On what?
On the governor's office. It don't have to be answered now, but there's been a proliferation of positions added since the Sheffield administration, some 400 or 500 positions, and I want to know where we are as far as political positions, appointed positions. It went from like 650 to 1,100 when Cooper left, and I want to find out if there's been a drop in political position since the end of Cooper's position or Cooper's term versus the Hickel administration so far. So I'd like to get an answer to that. See how many political positions we got left.
18 to fill every one available to him.
Well, I know. Well, that's
what I'm fighting against. See if we can't get an answer on it.
You know what I'm saying, Alan?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
There was some 650 Sheffield left.
Yeah.
Finance Committee meeting will come back to order. We will go back to the court system budget. Representative Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move some additional items in the court system budget. I'd like to go ahead and move item number 8.
Are there objections?
Item 9, Mr. Chairman, I would like to reduce by move to reduce that amount by $293,500, leaving $75,000 in.
What is it?
Item number 9.
Reduced. So the amount would be reduced 293.5.
And it would be remainder of 75,000.
That would be. Any objections?
Which one, please?
Number 9.
Courts and courts.
Number 9 on the courts, but.
Under Q.
Cuts at 8 and 9, but 9 was amended.
Yes. So what was amended to?
Are you getting the maximum?
75,000 number, isn't it? There was a minus 293.
Taking less.
Number 9.
So you're giving him back some?
A little bit.
293. 75,000.
What kind of softy are you?
Marshmallow.
Is there objections?
Yes,
please. He's bigger than we are.
Item number 10,
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to reduce the amount from item number 10 by $224.3,000, leaving $40,000.
Is there objection? Without objection, number 10 is accepted. Representative Jackal.
Item number 11, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to reduce that amount by $191.5,000, leaving $50,000.
Is there objection? Without objection, number 11 is accepted.
Okay, and that's all. At this point in time, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to close off that budget.
Move that the court system budget be closed, Representative Barnes.
Well, I'm glad to hear it because I don't want Art over here sweet talking anymore.
There are further objections. Yep, court system budget is closed. Snowden, we'll open it back up.
It just took them all.
Well, there's another one in the package we didn't consider unless it got read in.
See what he's doing.
Better check it.
Rants to victims for justice.
No, we didn't take that.
You did too.
not the Victims for Justice grant.
He moved the whole budget.
No, it's closed. No,
closed.
We didn't take it.
Oh, wait a
What
second.
Do you mean?
Wait a second. Wait a second.
Wait. That's...
We better open back up. Is there objections to opening back up the court system?
No.
Because there is on page number 14, the item...
You better not leave, Art.
Increment for new positions for the Victims' Rights Act.
Well, I'd like to point out, Mr. Chairman, that we stole the money for travel to fund this, so we found money in travel for it.
Mr. Chairman, we didn't move 12 to 16. Those were left off.
That's an increment that, if we don't take 14, we leave that increment in the budget.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're talking about increment. I'm on another page.
Well, number 14, one of the proposed reductions was 143.4 thousand.
Mm-hmm. We did not do that.
So if we don't take that, then the increment is left in.
Okay.
Is that what people wanted?
We want you to take it. We move the money in that one.
To accept it.
To accept, mm-hmm. Well, we want us to accept this reduction?
Yes, we do, because we move the money somewhere else.
Okay. Number 14?
I'll move number 14.
No. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I think we need to clarify that this was an increment which was in the court system's budget, which we have decided as a subcommittee not to delete because
right.
we found the money to pay for it. So I think the motion was appropriate before as to not take it out. I think we're okay. I don't think we need to change what we did. It's in the budget now.
Okay.
Okay.
And how about then over here, the Judicial Council, where we took the $10,000 and we gave that to Victims for Justice?
Yeah.
The whole separate standalone.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I believe that requires a separate motion because that, unlike the previous thing we were talking about, does not now show up in the budget. And we're not talking about deleting it, we're talking about adding it. So that would require a separate motion, I believe.
We're going to come back to those another time.
Increments later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Closing
well,
the budget,
we're closing this budget, so we might as well take care of it now. Representative Jackal.
I would move number one, option one.
Are there objections? Without objections, it's adopted.
Okay. So Mr. Chairman, I guess once again move close. Budget.
Are there objections to closing the court system budget? Not court system budget is closed. So Mr. Stone moves again. Department of Administration?
What do you mumble over there?
Mr. Chairman, I don't see the representatives from the Department of Administration.
Kevin.
Oh, there he is. He's here. Right. At our last discussion, there were requests for information, and I don't know if Mr. Brooks has been able to come up with the information he needs in Chesterbay, but for item 7, we would like to see a breakdown of how that reduction would be taken, and then with respect to the Pioneers Homes, clarification of what the impact to rates would be for the individual residents.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, we've been working since the meeting yesterday to get this information together. I'll have the Pioneer Home rates by the end of the day. I'm really sorry I don't have them right now. As far as the reductions, I prepared a draft for the commissioner. We've called a meeting of directors for first thing in the morning. And once again, by this time, certainly tomorrow, I would have handouts for everybody on those two items.
Okay, we'll see you at 1:30 tomorrow then.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I believe there is a representative from the PUC. Don May is here and could answer people's questions with respect to item 7, the APUC tax on utilities. I don't know if he's in the audience. He's just in my office.
Don't see him. material.
Anybody going to take APUC here?
Yeah, APUC.
Yes, sir.
Did we hand out this packet to everyone on this subject who could include the proposed legislation yet?
I haven't seen it.
On phone?
Okay, you got them all there. Okay. Good.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Brown.
I'll move items 22 through 24.
Are there objections? Without objection, those are accepted. Take a break there for a while.
Let's take a break there. Unless we can round up the
APUC. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I just ask one question on the page.
Yes.
Item number 31, international trade, it says cut remainder of foreign trade increment for 279. I just kind of like to clarify on the record, if we take that decrement, it will leave the foreign trade office at the same level that it was last year. Is that correct?
Actually, no, that's not correct. It appears that way, but the impacts are more severe than that, and I see Mr. Garzini has come in and could probably help address this. I understand that it would require, there are several ways they could approach that. They would likely close either the Korean or the Japanese office if this increment number 31 were taken, or leave just a front, so to speak, in those offices without a development specialist there. And I'm not real clear on the reasons for why the continuation, why this increment is needed to hold even, and I would like to defer to Mr. Garzini if he could comment on that.
Mr. Garzini.
Looks like pretty good timing. This is Ron Garzini for the record. You may recall that the head of our Japan office last year passed away during the middle of the year, and during the bulk of the year only took medical protection. There were a couple of other reductions. We took a reduction early in the year, and then basically because of not funding Mr. Hayashi's budget to replace him, we need the increment to fully staff that office. I don't remember the others, but that alone was approximately $130,000. The salary, it sounds like a lot of money, but that's about a $60,000 U.S. equivalent. So that was part of it, and it kind of caught me off guard walking in. But it was, we downsized our budget in part as a result of the fact that we knew we didn't have to pay his salary because he was ill and on his way, he was terminally ill. There was also some reductions in pamphlets and brochures and stuff. Our foreign offices are in pretty bad shape right now in terms of materials.
Do you by any chance know what the total amount of money foreign trade offices is? I'm sorry, I don't have the backup with me, but
this guy's out here.
What's the total expenditure for foreign trade offices?
In fiscal year 93, we're talking about $1,050,000 for the Korea and the Japan offices.
Okay, and is the $1,050,000 assuming that the 279 increments would be adopted or deleted?
It's assuming that the increment will be adopted.
Okay, thank you.
Last year.
In this year, 92.
What is it, 92?
My name's Guy Bell. I'm Director of Administrative Services for Commerce. The fiscal year 92 expenditure is on Korea and Japan combined is about, I would estimate is in the neighborhood of about $750,000. So there's about a $300,000 increase built into the fiscal year 93 budget. It includes, as Ron mentioned, the head of the Tokyo office. It also includes a cost of living cost increase for rent and for existing contract employees in Japan and Korea because of the increase in the cost of living. The annual increase has been running at a rate of approximately 20% in terms of the relationship of the yen to the dollar, and also just the basic cost of living in Japan and Korea going up.
What was FY91?
I don't have that information. We can get that to you.
And the how much did you say was in FY92?
About 750,000.
750,000. Okay. And that was that amount to cover the Japanese, the head of the Japanese office who was deathly ill and died?
That does not include any funding for the head of the Tokyo office. That's how much we estimate will actually be spent on the Japan and Korea offices. And of course, we have no head of office right now. We really haven't had for the entire fiscal year because we've just been paying the health benefits for that the head of the office until he died.
Okay, so did you budget for it then? Or did you just figure the guy was not going to require a budget?
We had originally budgeted for it. In the final days of the legislative session through the conference committee process, the OIT budget was cut an additional $75,000 beyond what the governor had recommended, and that basically took the funding away for the head of that office.
Mr. May is in the back.
APUC, Don Mee. Do you want to make some comments on it, or do you want to just answer questions?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I might make a few brief comments. I'm Commissioner Don May from APUC. To my right is Bob Lord, the Executive Director. As came up yesterday, we're here to support the concept of utility user fees to provide receipts for the general fund, which would also be used to could be used to fund the APUC. The proposal would be a user fee of about 0.6% on regulated revenues for regulated utilities. I guess the first question that would come up is why user fees? I think a couple of reasons are, first, in a time of diminishing revenues and diminishing source of revenue, it seems to make sense. User fees are also the norm in most state jurisdictions. Approximately 46 out of 50 states do fund their public utility commissions either entirely or partially through user fees. So it's not an unusual type of thing, and it's not an attempt to increase the APUC's budget, but simply to find another source of funding in these difficult times. Unless Mr. Lawyer has something to say, I'll be available to answer questions.
What's the difference between a user fee and a tax?
I don't know, Representative Phillips. I think it's probably beyond my area of expertise.
Well,
a user fee would be a charge based on revenues to the utilities, which would go to the general fund.
Why are they using something?
Pardon me?
Why are they using something? My booklet says here, fund APUC with tax on utilities. And you're saying user fee.
I don't know if tax is the best choice of words. I'm not sure if user fee is. I think the term we used at the commission is utility assessments.
Okay, let me ask you this. The 0.6%, I mean, what are you charging? Whether you call it a user fee or tax, it's still a charge.
It's a charge, and what the utility gets for that, don't forget the commission is established both to provide services to utilities and also to protect utility ratepayers and to provide reasonable and fair utility rates and reasonable and fair quality of service. So from a ratepayer's perspective, the ratepayer in the long run is paying perhaps more in their utility rates for this service. In the long run, if there's a user fee of 60 cents on $100, which is what we propose, that eventually will probably pass to the ratepayer. In exchange for that, the ratepayer, I think, has to make this kind of assessment. Do I get 60 cents worth of protection from what might be higher rates charged by a monopoly if I pay this user fee? So from the ratepayer's point of view, a monopoly can charge almost anything they want. The user fee provides some degree of protection. and backed by the full force of statute.
See, I don't understand what the 0.6%, who are you charging? Are you charging the consumer or are you charging the utility?
The charge would be directly.
And for what? Or how are you billing them?
Well, Representative Phillips, the charge would be directly, as we contemplate it, to the utility. So the utility would make the payment to the general fund, not necessarily to the commission, but to the possibly to the Department of Revenue, or to the general fund in some manner, as is done in most of the other states in the country. Ultimately, it's a cost of doing business for that utility. It's a legitimate cost of doing business, and in the long run, a portion of this will probably be passed back to the consumer through IRS.
I understand. Are co-ops are exempt, or are they included in here?
As contemplated now, co-ops are not exempt.
They're not exempt?
They're not exempt.
Mm-hmm. Of the 43 states that have these charges, how many exempt co-ops?
I don't know the exact number, Representative Phillips. I would say it's about half. Half of the states in the country regulate co-ops, and about half do not.
Mr. Chairman, I think I'll be reluctant on this one here. Vote for it.
Representative Larson.
Thank you. Could co-ops, by actions of their board of directors, exempt themselves?
Yes, they could, Representative Larson. All co-ops in the state organized according to AS 1025 may opt out of regulation by a vote of the majority of the members. So under existing statute, any co-op in the state can opt to be deregulated by a simple majority vote.
Is it the majority of the members or the majority of those members voting?
If I understand your question correctly, we've had this statute's existed for, I think, since 1980. During that time, we've had, I don't have the sheet with me, approximately 20 elections for co-ops, and most of them have, those that have had the elections have opted to deregulate. In general, this has been the smaller cooperatives. There have been several elections by larger cooperatives, specifically Matanuska Electric and Kodiak, for example, in which the ratepayers elected not to opt out of regulation, but to stay under APUC regulation.
I just kind of wanted to get for the record, like, let's say the co-op has 15,000 members, 1,500 of them vote. It's the majority of those who vote would actually make the decision, not the majority of the total membership.
The majority of those who vote.
Have you had a chance to read the proposed bill, and would it accomplish what you hope it would?
Yes, I think it would.
Representative Sharp.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, it would appear that this type of approach of 0.6% of gross revenue would penalize the utilities and the customers that had a higher cost of power, wouldn't it? Would it not? Wouldn't their assessment be higher because their cost of power would be a lot higher? For instance, someone that has diesel generation would pay a hell of a lot more than someone that has gas generation or hydro.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sharp. Anything which contributed to the gross revenues of the utility.
You need to state your name.
I'm sorry. My name is Bob Lohr, Executive Director for the APUC. Anything which contributed to the gross revenues of the utility would, by definition,
in other words, the question
be assessed
is yes.
To 6 cents.
The question is yes.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The answer is yes. Okay.
Yes. And to the extent that it wasn't if it was an allowable cost under power cost equalization, then that state assistance would help with the cost.
So it's. If I may, Mr. Chairman, so it wouldn't make any difference how much regulatory need they had for any given period. The contribution would be based on their total revenue, which would cover, which naturally would cover higher generating costs, fuel costs, et cetera. So.
That's correct. It's a judgment call to have a mechanism which is administratively simple to implement and to tie it to something which is easy to measure and not in debate as to what the level is.
Why would it be easier to charge so much per consumer? That would be a heck of a lot more equitable, I would think, than the cost of power involved in it.
To the extent that the utility revenues reflect the volume of regulatory activity, and that's debatable, but basically a higher level of utility bill presumably involves higher avoided costs for a consumer based on the effects of regulation. And to that extent, gross revenues is a better measure than simply being a customer for the benefits received from regulation.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, it depends on where you live in the state.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to say for the record, in case I forgot to the last time we discussed this, that my husband is one of the commissioners, and I have a conflict, a potential conflict. How much money would this proposal raise as it's drafted?
As drafted, the maximum amount which it could raise, given those statutory gaps, would be in the range of $9 million, depending on some figures which need to be pinned down with respect to pipeline intrastate revenues.
And that would result from the new Section 1 and the new Section 3 of the bill?
Is that the 0.6% provision?
That's the 0.6, and then there's pipeline carrier regulatory cost charge in Section 3.
Correct. That $9 million estimate is based on those two provisions, the certificated but economically not regulated provisions that deal with the 0.15% for utilities is not yet built into that figure. It would be a slight increase of that $9 million, but not much.
And did you envision this as program receipt authority? I gather from the backup that you're expecting it to go to the general fund?
That's correct. The commission in the past has had program receipt authority, but because of the delay between commencement of a case and actual allocation and collection of costs from a utility, the problem of tracking that became very difficult, and program receipt authority, as I understand it, was removed some time ago. So the proposal in the bill is that the money received under this regulatory assessment charge would be paid into the general fund, and the money would be available for the appropriation by the legislature and the governor to whatever purpose you wished. The assumption was that the commission would be one of the allowable uses, but by no means was it intended that would be the exclusive use under the prohibition on dedicated funds.
Just a couple more, Mr. Chairman. Some suggestions have been made that co-ops should not be regulated or ought to just be written out. Do you know what percentage of the market is served by co-ops in Alaska, roughly?
Based on the gross receipts measure, it's approximately 21%.
21%?
That's correct. That's the entire utility market as well as pipeline carriers.
How about of the electricity market?
I can get that figure for you. I don't have it immediately available.
For the record, Don May, it's well over half of the entire electrical market, in the vicinity of 3/4, I believe.
In the states, if you know, that don't regulate co-ops, do they represent a significant part of the market?
It really varies. Some states, for example, my home state of Massachusetts, when I checked on the way down here, does not regulate co-ops and does not have any REA co-ops. And I think as I went through the list coming down, there are some states like that. But to be honest, it's not exclusively that way either. Some states have had taken the tack that co-ops should not be regulated. In many of these states, the co-ops are quite small entities. Again, there's no entirely uniform and consistent pattern.
Thank you. Well, let me just ask one more. If we wanted to craft this proposal to more closely reflect the costs of the commission, how would we set these numbers? In other words, we don't really need to raise $9 million. We need to raise about $4 million with your increment that's proposed, a little less than that.
This is Bob Lohr again. Representative Brown, the statutory cap could be lowered by roughly half, and we could come up with an actual estimate of that figure. I emphasize it's subject to verification of the pipeline revenues, because the annual reports for pipeline companies do not clearly distinguish intrastate barrels from interstate on a revenue basis. So the gross revenues that are jurisdictional to the commission itself is a hard figure to come up with. And we want to verify that figure, because the exercise is very sensitive to that number. It's a large percentage. It's roughly 52% of total gross receipts that are jurisdictional. But the caps could be lowered, we believe, and still provide adequate revenue to cover the cost of utility commission regulation.
Thank you.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I'd like to see a projection based on the last year's data on reports filed with the APUC on what the projected revenue, well, you want to call it a tax or a fee, but when it's a percentage of the gross, it looks like a tax is a tax is a tax as far as I'm concerned. But I'd like to know how much it would amount to on co-op telephones, co-op electricity, electrical co-ops, municipal-owned utilities, private-owned telephone companies, and private-owned power companies, and pipelines. It gives a good idea who's going to pay the freight.
Don May again. We can do that, Representative Schaap. It'll take a day or so.
How soon could you have that?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions?
Would we hold number 7 open until tomorrow, then?
We'll hold number 7 open until tomorrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That one, you know, I told you I didn't have anything here that I didn't want, because we found it.
And found it.
Hey,
I thought I didn't want anything here.
For something you don't need.
Yeah.
It'd be okay. It'd be okay if you put it on every utility bill saying this is your regulatory cost this month.
Your use of fee. I hear it. Maybe we ought to restructure it that way.
Okay. How about if we move back to community and regional affairs?
Yeah, once again, we're going to have a
tab one.
Second time.
I'll make a motion to close the DCRA budget.
Plus the fact that if you don't use the service, you can opt out.
Where are we?
CRA.
On page 3, we held BIP. The Understate Employment and Training Business Incentive Program open, and there was a backup letter from Representative Kopenin on the STEP program, and maybe you may want to talk about it at this point in time.
Page 2, CRA. One more.
Essentially, we heard from there not so far.
Excuse me, Representative Kopenin, if I remember correctly, we'll deal with it.
I didn't bring the letter today because I didn't know we were going to deal with that aspect, but if you all be doing the plan,
Under the business incentive program, eliminates grants to employers. There were some concerns raised from Representative Boyer on that.
Page 2, actually.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get the answer between being here last night till 8 o'clock or whatever it was this morning.
Okay, on...
The next one. Community Development Assistance Deputy Director, I would like to move that to Category 10. And the reason for that is that we were too overzealous in cutting our deputy directors in that division and eliminated all of them. So I'd like to put this deputy director in Category 2.
Okay, we'll move that down to a different category. How about Bering Sea Fishermen's Association? I'll move that we strike it.
Strike it?
I mean that we accept that reduction. So objections?
What page?
I do object. And the reason for that, right under that Bering Sea Fishermen's grant, Representative Navar made a motion to accept that amount, and I object. And the reason for that objection is that there's going to be, because of the community development quotas that are being established, there's going to be significantly more work for the Bering Sea Fishermen's Association, and it's important to areas where this organization is active to have some organization familiar with what is happening in the Bering Sea and to develop the fisheries.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Boyer.
I thought that that issue was anything but settled at this point, the community quota issue.
But
the discussion is whether or not we should accept the reduction in the increment. And my understanding is it would leave, it says here the funding would remain at the current level for the 92 year.
Yeah, exactly.
And the issue of the community quotas is anything but settled, and so to leave money, additional money in the budget for something that probably or may not occur.
For further discussion, sure. The group has to find out which communities are eligible for quotas, helping them develop their catching, processing, and marketing potential.
Yeah. Well, this is an item that, while I've always supported it in the budget, I guess I can't see putting an increment in with the other things that we're eliminating in all the agencies. That's my only concern.
I still object. I would like to maintain my objection.
Hold it open.
Please.
Vote on it.
Vote on it.
Representative Barnes.
Are you going to vote now, or are we going to?
Going to vote. Is that all right, or you want
to? You want to know how I'm going to vote? Shall I leave it in or take it out?
No, you had your pencil.
No, I was going to discuss something else.
Okay, well.
We got to vote first.
We'll have the motion is to remove the Bering Sea Fishermen's increment of 100,000, or accept that reduction. Are there other objections besides Representative McLean?
This a vote?
This is a vote.
Okay, I would vote no.
Okay, Secretary will call the roll. Better do it that way.
Representative Barnes?
To leave it in, yes.
Well, wait.
No. The
motion is to accept that reduction.
Yes, I vote to accept the reduction.
Okay.
Yes.
Representative Brown?
It in.
Yes. Representative Jacko?
No.
Representative Kopanen?
No. That was no.
No, thank you. Representative Larson?
Yes.
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Representative Sharp?
Yes.
Representative Vollmer?
Yes.
Representative Boyer?
Yes.
Representative McKinney?
No.
Representative Barr?
Yes.
Okay, under Category 5, we also have Alaska Legal Services. And it reduces the amount by $100,000, and I'd like to make a change to give them whatever they received last year. In fiscal year 92, legislature appropriated $350,000, and the governor vetoed $175,000.
I don't have those numbers. Could you just say that again, what you just said?
In fiscal year 92, the legislature appropriated $350,000 and the governor vetoed $175,000.
And the motion is to do what?
To give them whatever they received last year.
Before the veto?
Mm-hmm.
So $350 is your motion?
Yes.
What number, that, please?
What's that?
What number is she moving, please?
Oh, excuse me. Alaska Legal Services, Category 5, on page 3.
And the number?
The number you moved.
Oh, $350,000.
Okay. Where is that in the governor's FY93 budget? What number is in FY93? No. In the governor's budget. Is this an increment or a decrement, I guess?
This is a decrement. This is a decrement.
Okay. That would be
Maybe we can have Ramon come up and talk about the Alaska.
The governor's proposal for 93 is how much?
Ramon Harrison, director.
What's the amount in FY93 governor's budget for legal services grants?
Prior to the reduction, it was.
What is the 93?
The 93.
93.
Mm-hmm. This year's budget.
Prior to the 475.
475.
Right.
She's moving 350.
So that would make this 125,000 instead of 100,000. The reduction here, is that correct? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What was, Mr. Chairman, what was the conference committee number from last year?
I would have to look at that number to find out. But in FY92, the amount that Alaska Legal Services actually received is $475,000. Same amount was proposed for FY93. In the reduction scenario, we reduced that by $200,000. The subcommittee changed that reduction to $100,000, and so that's what you see here, is a reduction of $100,000 from FY92.
The conference committee, though, there was a veto from the conference committee amount.
I believe there was.
So if I understand it correctly, that would leave $125,000 in that program?
No, I think it would leave $350,000 in that program.
Mr. Chairman, the problem I'm having with this reduction is some of the increments that we're not reducing in other departments. I guess I sort of feel like Alaska Legal Services is the last place to go for poor people in Alaska who have serious legal problems, and I'm really not sure we're being responsible to allow some agencies to get increments this year and reduce this agency even more than what they got last year. So I have some problems with this recommendation.
Something from the conference committee.
I thought 350 is what they got last year.
475 is what Adam just said.
They had 350 last year, and then they...
No, he said 475 is what they had last year.
What was 92 authorized?
475,000.
And what was the conference committee?
I believe the number is 475. I would have
not
to
not at a conference. It wasn't.
Yes, no. Well, the amount that they received.
A lot of conference.
Conference committee didn't reduce it.
No, there was a veto from the conference committee. No.
Okay, we need to take a break anyway. So we'll come back after the break.
Another 15-minute break.
Meanwhile, can we find out what the budget is?
Finance committee meeting, we'll come back to order.
Okay, on Alaska Legal Services, I would like to move that to Category 2.
Okay.
Repeat the motion, please.
It's just being moved down to Category 10.
I don't think we have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
2, 3, 4, 5.
The new policy this year is if people aren't here, they don't get to participate. Just kidding.
Good. Let's hurry.
Okay, now we have a quorum. Let's move down to Category 10.
Alaska Legal Services.
Great.
Yes. Okay, on data processing, personal services, contractual.
Representative Brown.
I'd just like it to be clear how we're disposing of Alaska Legal Services. And
Alaska Legal Services has just been moved to Category 10, which means not recommended for reduction.
Mr. Chair. To answer the question that was asked before the break, the amount that was funded the conference committee last year was $950,000 before the veto.
Thank you.
Okay. On data processing, personal services, contractual, I'd like to move that to Category 10. And the reason for this is that it'll cut two areas of the data processing component, personal services or the contractual line item, and this cut would leave only one staff position to administer all the data processing requirements in the department.
Okay. Any objections? All right.
Okay, on the Family Support Act jobs, this was requested to be opened by Representative Kopanen.
Representative Kopanen.
Representative Boyer has some of the information. I raised the question about the effect on the Family Support Act. However, we do have a proposal that concerning essentially the job, the funding for through STEP. For FY92, the legislature appropriated $1.8 million of STEP monies These are appropriate from the employee contribution to unemployment insurance. The money goes into the unemployment insurance trust fund, would otherwise go to the unemployment trust fund. Any balance unspent at the end of the fiscal year is reappropriated to the trust fund. In FY90, $1.7 million was turned back in this fashion. And FY91, the amount turned back was $700,000. Raymond Henderson, of CNRA, has informed my office that they expect $3.5 million to be available in FY93. And the current Labor Department budget appropriates $1.8 million. These monies are used both by Community Regional Affairs and by STEP. In light of the apparently unused potential of TEP monies, I would support funding of the model program suggested by the Fairbanks Native Association for Training and Employment. The amount requested is $358,930. Since we would have to put that in the Labor Department budget, it should and RSA it over to Community Regional Affairs. That's non-general fund monies. However, that is an increment. I'm not sure whether this was the time to discuss it now.
Okay. Not very kind.
Representative Kopanen, on the step increases, the increments, that'll be dealt with later. But on the Family Support Act jobs, did you have a concern there? It's on
page
four. I
was asked for information, essentially, on that.
Representative Brown?
Is this the part of the Welfare Reform Act that trains people on welfare to get a job and there are certain requirements?
This program trains the individuals to help them, to help get them employed. And it's pure general funds. And it's not tied to any federal funding.
So there would still be a program remaining? Is this an extra increment or something? I mean...
Mr. Chair, Representative Brown, this is not an increment. This is the amount that's presently in the DCRA budget. And this reduction would eliminate the Family Support Act jobs program from our budget. In answer to your question, it is the program that does train people to be employed that are currently on welfare. We would be able to serve some of these clients with the present JTPA program, but we certainly would not be able to address all the clients that would be served if we were to have these funded under the FSA jobs, which is the mandatory program.
The FSA jobs, this is not that. That's what you're saying. This is not the mandatory.
Yes, it is. This is a federally required program with Title IV agency or 4A agency, which is Department of Health and Social Services. They're required to address welfare clients, and jobs is one portion of that Welfare Reform Act. So, some of these clients would be addressed by our JTPA program, but not to the tune of the 70 or 80 that are addressed by the funding that's in this with this money.
Can we try it another way? If this is eliminated, will there be a similar program anywhere in the budget?
Only those clients that will be addressed by the JTPA program. In other words, we have got $7 million of federal JTPA funds. We can designate a portion of those funds to address some of these clients. But it will not replace this program entirely.
Representative Barnes?
What do you do with the rest of that $7 million that you're getting to defense?
Representative Barnes, the money that's used on the federal program is for Title IIA and Title B. Those are programs that deal with primarily with youth and those people that are not necessarily on welfare, but are have been employed, are looking for jobs and need training. Welfare, the FSA portion, addresses only people that are actually on welfare.
Well, then, does the Department of Health and Social Services, since they have the responsibility for this, have any job training program for these recipients, these welfare recipients?
Mr. Chair and Representative Barnes, my understanding is that they do have some, but they rely primarily on DCRA to Health and Social Services refers the clients to DCRA, and we do the job training. So we have $350,000 in grant.
But you said they do have some, so you would be able to pick up some through your federal funds, and they have some still in their budget.
That's not true. They do not do any of the training. This money was all in Hess's budget the first year of the jobs program, and it was RSA'd, and so we kind of watched what was going on through the process through Hess. And the first year, last year, the first full year, we did a review of where the whole process was, but this year we've not gone through that kind of a review. But Hess doesn't have job training programs.
Mr. Chair, the portion that we had at DCRA that was RSA to DCRA was the FSA jobs, child care.
Right.
Child care. This is not the child care portion. This is the training portion.
I think Jay Living, though, might speak to this. Jay, you got it?
Thank you. For the record, my name is Jay Living from Health and Social Services. Ramonda's is basically correct. The job training portion of welfare reform money comes to, it goes out into the, goes out through the JTPA. What the department has is money for specialty programs such as teen parents, RSAs with Department of Education. We have counseling programs that we have in conjunction with the Department of Law. The reduction of these funds would impact the department's ability to meet FSA goals of percentages of people that have to be in work programs.
So I guess my interest was, if you're interested in getting people off of welfare, and there's an awful lot of concern about welfare abuse and people on the system and staying on the system, and that the impact of the reduction here is to have more people not getting the training, not perhaps moving off welfare, and then all of the attendant costs that go along with sustaining those people on that welfare system.
I believe, Mr. Chairman, there was an understanding between FSA program and ATPA that if you're going to be training people for work, it makes sense to focus on those individuals who are also getting a cash benefit from the state. You help the economy by getting someone to work. At the same time, you reduce the public assistance benefit that you're paying that individual. And that was a partnership between FSA and JTPA for these funds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to know, like the WIN program, for example, how successful are you and the people that go through these job training programs in getting them a job in public or private community? And how successful are they at keeping those jobs?
Mr. Chair, I would have to check on that and see if we have statistics on that. Those are the kinds of statistics that we should have through the jobs program. By next year probably will be the second complete year of that program, and we hope to have some of that information.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I happen to know that there's some people that go through this program that either they never find a job or they find one momentarily and then they go right back on welfare. So I'd like to know that these dollars are well spent.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I'm no expert in this area, but with respect to the Family Support Act jobs training, there's no requirement, it's my understanding, that the individuals, once they've completed training, actually go into unsubsidized employment. On the Family Support Act jobs program, the required reporting is based on participant hours, if I'm not correct.
That's the way the federal government judges how we do our work. But, of course, we're not interested in just doing that. We're interested in doing what Governor McLaurin suggested, which is making sure people are off welfare and don't come back on.
The way the economy is headed in Alaska, not going to have much luck. Representative Brown.